Okay, let's be seated. How much does God expect of you? We have great expectations of God, but what does He expect of you? Interesting question. We'll come back to it later this morning. Let's begin with Jesus. What did He expect of Jesus? Why did He send Jesus? We're coming up to the season of His nativity, and we'll hear all kinds of platitudes and truths and half-truths in carols. But there's one central reason why the Father sent the Son that you will hardly ever hear anyone speak about. And yet it's absolutely crucial to God's purposes. So let's turn to Isaiah 42. Now, between Isaiah 40 and 55, there are a series of what are called the servant songs. Songs because they're put in a poetic form. These are prophecies about the servant. Now, who is the servant? Well, the servant is, first of all, God's people. And then because the people fail to fulfill God's expectations, the servant refers to the faithful remnant among the people. And then it gets focused down to the one true servant, the Messiah, who is sent to be the servant. And that's the case so that then there can be an explosion of life into the remnant and all the people. It's like there's a narrowing down so that then there can be a release. We, as those who are incorporated into Christ, can identify with the servant because He is our Lord, and because we too are sons who have been called to serve. Now, the Lord is His name. He says, I am the Lord. That is my name. So, to say that the name of God is Lord, the Holy Spirit, of course, enables us to call Him Lord. To say that He is Lord is to say that He rules and reigns, He is in charge, He is the ultimate authority. So when He sends His Son, He gives His Son the name Jesus. But you see, the Holy Spirit enables us to say Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the name of God. So, the Father sent the one who is our Lord to do what? Well, we would say to save us. But actually, his purpose is much greater than that. Let's read what is said about the servant here in chapter 42. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him. Well, we know all that was fulfilled, yes? But why? And he will bring justice to the nations. Why did God send his son to bring justice? Without justice, there would be no salvation. Hello? Let's read on. He will not shout or cry out. If you have real authority, you don't need to. Hello? You don't overcome the devil by shouting at him, but by exercising authority over him. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, see, that says what he won't do, but what will he do? In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. Are we getting this? What's the whole purpose that God has in sending his son to establish justice on the earth? Now you'll have lots of Christmas cards with peace, love, joy. Unto us a son is born. Wonderful counselor, mighty God. But I don't suppose you'll find one that will say justice. But actually, without the justice, there wouldn't be any of the rest. Are we breathing here? In his law, the islands will put their hope. This is what the Lord, God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. All that flows out of the establishing of his justice. Now, we need to understand what that means, if it is so key and crucial to God's purposes. Because you don't need to be a prophet to look at the world around you and see how much injustice there is. Man's fallen nature causes him to operate unjustly. Is anybody breathing here this morning? Okay. So God knew that injustice has affected or infected the whole of sinful humanity. There is so much injustice around, so much corruption, so many people being dealt badly by others. But all those things are just symptoms of the way in which people have dealt with God. their reactions and attitudes towards him. Okay, so what did Jesus need to do to establish justice on the earth? Well, he had to suffer injustice. That's why he was falsely accused and condemned falsely. Totally unjust. All the opposition that he experienced at the hands of the Pharisees and others simply for doing the will of God on the Sabbath, healing the sick, for example, on the Sabbath. All that injustice he had to suffer because he was going to be judged unjustly. It was necessary for Jesus to go through that series of trials. Why? Why a series of trials? Because it had to be shown the religious dealt with him unjustly and the world dealt with him unjustly. Caiaphas and Pilate. Religion deals unjustly with God, and so does the world. Religion condemned Jesus, the world condemned Jesus. Both acts of condemnation were totally unjust. So we know that when Jesus went to the cross, he took every negative upon himself, including all the injustice that there is in the world. It doesn't matter what form of government you have, whether it's democracy, whether it's dictatorship, there is always injustice. It doesn't matter which political party is in power, there is always injustice. And those injustices from time to time come to light. At present, they're coming to light pretty regularly with the present government. Like almost every day, there's a new one. But we shouldn't be surprised, because that's the nature of human government. And politicians can say all they like about wanting a just and fair society, but the only place where that can be found is in the kingdom of God. And they oppose the kingdom of God. Those who are not with us are against us. Are we breathing? So then, we shouldn't be surprised that one unjust situation after another comes to the fore. But what we can rejoice in is that Jesus has established justice. Now, we've got to see what the implications of this are for us personally. But let's just be absolutely clear what this means, how he has accomplished it. Well, he was judged unjustly. And in bearing the punishment for our sins, you remember in Isaiah 53 it says, "The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." So we know that he was being punished for our sins. That was an unjust punishment, as far as Jesus was concerned, because he had never sinned. So he was suffering our punishment. Hello? Now, why was that necessary? Because of the justice of God. Why so? Because God is absolutely just. That means he's right, he's honest, he's fair. A whole lot of other things too. But it was totally necessary for God to demonstrate his justice. Not his justice as far as Jesus was concerned, but his justice as far as sin is concerned. Sin had to be punished. That is just. Supposing supposing you had committed murder and you were hauled before the court and you were found guilty, there would be a public outcry if the judge said to you, "Well, I know that you've been found guilty, but I'm a judge of mercy, so I'm going to forgive you and release you." You see, to the world, that would be totally unjust. You say, "Well, wait a minute. The judge is there to uphold the law." Hello? So if you were to be found guilty of murder, it would be the judge's responsibility to give you the right sentence because of the offense that you had committed. You would say, "That's just." So God demonstrated his justice. He could not say, "Your sin does not matter." He had to demonstrate that sin must be punished. He also made it very clear that because he hates sin and sin is so offensive in his sight, the only way to punish sin is by death. Now, if you believed in the death penalty, you could say, "Well, if somebody committed murder, he would be he should have the death penalty." But Jesus, or God in his justice, says anyone who sins in any way deserves death. But he didn't mean physical death, although that is included. He meant eternal death. Eternal exclusion from heaven and separation from God. That is God's justice as far as sin is concerned. Did I come to the right meeting this morning? So, as far as God is concerned, all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory. No one can ever deserve salvation. No one can ever deserve to go to heaven because nobody is just. So all the injustices were heaped upon Jesus. Why? So that he could bear our punishment, death. That he could suffer the death of a criminal. Had to be the death of a criminal. Had to be falsely accused. Had to be falsely judged. So that all injustice could be put to death in Christ. Are you there? So, let's look at this scripture again. He will bring justice to the nations. Well, you look at the nations today and you say there doesn't seem to be much justice. But there is wherever the kingdom of God is established. And what was the commission? Go into all the world. With what? With the gospel of the kingdom. Why? Because only where the kingdom exists is there justice. God's justice. Hello? The kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God. Right? Therefore, wherever he rules and reigns, there is justice. So he sent his son to bring. He will not falter or be discouraged. It doesn't matter what opposition comes up against him till he establishes justice on the earth. What is going to happen when Jesus comes again? And there's a new heaven and a new earth. There will be perfect justice. In heaven, you do not expect there to be any injustice. But everything will be just and right and in God's order. Well, now, this is all very fine, but how does it affect our lives? And what has this got to do with what God is doing amongst us in this season? What's the harvest all about? Bringing people into God's justice. Now, how does that work? They have to be judged. You hear me saying again and again, there is no salvation through repeating a sinner's prayer like a parrot. The only way that people are saved is through repentance and faith. What is repentance? Repentance is recognizing your sin has to be judged. But it's recognizing also it has been judged. And therefore you can receive forgiveness. You can only receive forgiveness because your sin has been judged. And because the penalty for that judgment has been paid. So all sin has to be judged before a person can be born again. Now, when a person is born again, he is brought into complete acceptance in the eyes of God. That we call, the scripture calls, justification. What is justification? It is being brought into the justice of God. Your sins have been judged. You have been declared not guilty because that sin has already been punished. And because the penalty for that sin has already been paid, not by you, but by somebody else on your behalf. Are we there? There is no salvation without repentance. And repentance is not just asking God to forgive your sins. Repentance is turning away from sin. So the time to pray for someone to be born again is when you know they have turned away from sin. God has given us the authority to forgive sin and to retain sin. But when is it right to forgive sin? When you know a person has repented. Hello? It's no use just saying to someone, God has forgiven all your sins, when they haven't repented, because he hasn't. He has done what is necessary for them to be forgiven, but they are not forgiven until they repent. What then must we do? They cried out on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. What does Jesus say right at the beginning of his ministry? The time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe, repent and be baptized, but repent is always there. Turn away from a life of injustice, from a life of sin, to a life of righteousness. So repentance is turning away from sin and embracing righteousness. Now, when a person is first born again, they're not going to understand all the implications of that, but they're going to have to be prepared for it, otherwise they will not be saved. Because salvation is a process. It's not a prayer. Hello? may begin with a prayer, but it has to go beyond a prayer. The idea that you can get to heaven just by praying the right prayer is so crazy when you look at what the New Testament says, you wonder how people can ever have come to believe it. Hello? Okay, now, what is justification? It is being justified before God. What does that mean? I mean, you know, people use these things just as if I'd never sinned. But, I mean, it's much more than that. It's recognizing that my sin has been judged. Oh, come on. It's recognizing my sin has been judged and God was right to judge my sin. It is so awful in his sight, it had to be judged. But it has been judged and I can be free because it's been judged and because the penalty I deserve for my sin has been paid. It's not actually just as if I'd never sinned. It's recognizing I have sinned. And the penalty for my sin has been paid. The justice of God has been meted out to Jesus on my behalf. Are we getting this? Now, you see, if we recognize that, at the foundation of our Christian life. Because, oh, well, look, turn to Psalm 89 for a moment. Verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Now, you know, we want to meet with God on his throne. We want to be for all eternity around the throne of God. Well, what is the foundation of his throne? Righteousness and justice. But you hardly ever hear justice talked about, do you? Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Well, we hear a lot about the love and faithfulness, but we don't hear so much about the righteousness and justice from which the love and faithfulness come. Are we getting something here? Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O God. Now, I'll come back to that, the presence of God, in a moment. So, righteousness and justice go together, don't they? God judges what is unrighteous in order that righteousness may be established. Hello? I am the Lord, your righteousness is one of the great names of God. Yes? And he has made us a righteous people. What does it mean to be justified? It means that your sins have been judged. It means that you have been made righteous in God's sight. You have become what the scripture calls the righteousness of God. So the righteousness of God is to be manifested and demonstrated in his people. Who knows that that is not always the case? That not even the church is renowned for being righteous. And the church, generally speaking, has allowed so much unrighteousness into its affairs. Hello? Why? Because there is no real recognition of the awfulness of sin. And because man has wanted to become the judge of what is sinful and what is not. So we have massive deception in the world today because man has taken over God's appointed position as the judge. All judgment belongs to the Son, but man has now taken it upon himself. Church leaders have taken it upon themselves to become the judges of what is sin and what is not sin. So there is no justice.
in the church. What the church is doing today, I mean, we're talking generally now, right? But what the church is perceived as in the world is to be something that in God's eyes is unjust. Does not reflect his justice. Does not reflect what is right in his eyes. Now, the answer to this is not to complain about it, but to become a just and righteous, a holy people. The nations will know that I am the Lord when I show myself holy through you. So what does God expect of you? To be righteous, just, and holy. You do look excited at the prospect. But how else can you be one with a righteous, just, and holy God? Now, the problem there is that there is nothing righteous, just, or holy about your flesh. Because in your flesh there dwells nothing good. In your natural life there is nothing good. So naturally you are not righteous, naturally you are not just, and naturally you are not holy. Naturally, you would always organize things for your own benefit. You would always twist and turn things to your own advantage. You see, which is what happens in the political scene. Before people have power, they come out with all these right things. This is right, this is just, this is good, that's right. They get into power, and what happens? They begin to act out of self-interest. Now they've got power, they can do that. And all this talk, all these election promises and so on, just go out the window. It becomes so many words because behind the words, people are acting out of self-interest. Hello? We're generalizing, but I mean, it's too generally true to be comfortable. Power corrupts. Total power corrupts totally. So, as soon as you get a dictator in, you know there's going to be corruption. But you see, democracy is no more God's order than dictatorship. If you look at the scriptures, there's more about dictatorship than democracy. Democracy isn't God's order. God's order is theocracy, which means God is on the throne and he's ruling and he's reigning and he's Lord and he's the one that's ordering things. So the kingdom of God is a theocracy. Theo is the Greek word for God. It's a society ordered by God. Theos. So, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So what does God expect of us? To be a righteous, just, and holy people. So what did Jesus do before he went to the cross? He came and lived a right, just, holy life. Now, the Pharisees were constantly accusing Jesus of breaking the law, but Jesus never broke the law. He broke man's interpretation of the law. He offended the traditions of the elders, but he kept the law because he came to fulfill it, and he couldn't fulfill it if he broke it. Hello? And God has established his purposes. You see, when they accused Jesus, they were looking for some way in which to rightly accuse him because he'd broken the law. But they couldn't find anything. All these false witnesses, but none of them would agree with one another. So in the end, they totally misinterpreted, misrepresented what he said about destroying this temple in 3 days, building it. Because, of course, they took it to mean the physical temple instead of the temple of his body. Injustice. But you see, if you don't want to believe something, you will find some way of justifying yourself for not believing it. But self-justification is self-righteousness, which is as filthy rags in the sight of God. So we cannot justify anything that we do that is in opposition to the will of God. Okay, now, let's go back to Psalm 89. Because actually, I don't really want to talk to you about the justice of God this morning, but about what he is wanting to say into our lives now. But without understanding this about justice, you can't understand what it means. For these last weeks, God has been putting three things together for me, because he says these are the things that are essential for what I am working out among you at this time. His presence, his power, and his peace. So that's quite easy to remember, isn't it? His presence, his power, and his peace. Now, let's see the relationship between these three things and how the justice of God is absolutely vital if we are to see these three things. Well, what do we read here in Psalm 89? Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. Can we all agree that God is righteous?
Yes.
That he is just?
Yes.
That he is holy?
Yes.
Now, what does he call us to do? He calls us to walk with him. Amen? How can you walk with him if you are unrighteous, unholy, and unjust? What is the command of Jesus? Abide in me and I in you. How can you abide in the one who is righteous, just, and holy unless you are righteous, just, and holy? So if we are to walk in the light of his presence, that means that we've got to pay attention to the way we're living. It's not just a question of praise God, we're experiencing his presence in the worship and oh, the glory of God, and we have such wonderful times and God is speaking prophetically to us and oh, we can't even end the 8 o'clock. All that is nonsense unless we walk in righteousness, justice, and holiness. What does it mean to the world for us to have a great worship time in this room? How can that affect the world around us? How can it affect the world if when we come to church on Sunday morning, we sing in tongues for a quarter of an hour before anything else happens? Great for us, but not for the world. Why? Because what matters is that what God is doing amongst us when we're together in the place of prayer and worship is then outworked in our practical lives because we're living in righteousness, justice, and holiness. What does God expect? Not for us just to have great praise times and worship times and prayer times, but to walk in righteousness, justice, and holiness. What does God expect of you? Nothing less than that. Live up to your high calling. What has he made possible? Well, he's made all that possible because he's dealt with all the injustice. He's dealt with all the unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He has judged your sin. He has paid the penalty for your sins so that now you can walk in the righteousness and the justice and the holiness of God. Come on, hallelujah. He's even put his Holy Spirit into you to make all that possible. Go to Romans chapter 3. Verse 21, but now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. So Jesus came to fulfill the law and to fulfill all these prophetic words in Isaiah and elsewhere in order that now should be established on the earth a righteousness that it does not come from obedience to the law. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? Ah, come on. Do you? I mean, do you believe that there is no condemnation for you? So you're not going to let the devil put you down. You're not going to entertain any negative thought about yourself or about your brother because you know he has been justified before God. You refuse to listen to any of the lies and the taunts and the unbelief of the enemy. You refuse to entertain any negative feeling that is in opposition to the truth of God's word because you are a righteous, justified, holy person. See, this is where the rubber hits the road. It's not theology we're learning, it's life. It's not just having right doctrine. Right doctrine leads to right life. Are we there? Okay, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, made just before God freely by his grace through the redemption that has come by Christ Jesus. He's done it all. Hallelujah. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement to make us one with God. That's what atonement means. At one with him. Through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice. Why has God saved you? To demonstrate his justice. Oh, dear Lord, help me. Perhaps you've never seen it like that before. What does God want to see in your life? His justice. It's the foundation of his throne. Oh, glory. He did this to demonstrate his justice because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. What does it mean to show forth his justice? It means you deal righteously with everyone. Mm-hmm. It means that you walk in the will of God. What's the outworking of that? His presence, his power, and his peace. Great to know the presence of God when we worship. But where you need to know his presence is out there in the world. When you're speaking to others, when you're witnessing to the truth.
And if you move in the presence of God, what is going to be released? The power of God. Why does he want to manifest his presence? To release his power. Why does he want us walking at one with him, so that his power, we can be channels of his power? Why? Because his purpose is to bring people into his peace. A person who is charged with an offense will never be at peace until he is acquitted. As soon as he is acquitted, he's at peace. That's why we can know the peace of God and live daily in the peace of God. Because we have been acquitted, our sin has been justly judged, and because someone else has paid the penalty, we have been acquitted. But what does that make us? Peacemakers. We are reaching out to others to bring them into God's peace. Peace with God, peace with others, peace with themselves, because they know their sin has been judged and they have been acquitted. You see, there is no salvation until someone is convicted of sin. You can't convict a person of a sin. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. You can accuse someone and actually probably make it more difficult for them to come to the Lord. But when the Holy Spirit actually convicts a person of sin, they lose all peace. They may not have realized that their sin was sin. But as soon as they see it as sin, they become uncomfortable. See, the church has made tragic mistakes in the last few years of completely alienating whole sections of our society by appearing to judge them, instead of understanding that only the Holy Spirit can convict people of their sin. Our job is to reach out with the kingdom of God and let the Holy Spirit do his job. If we preach the truth, then the Holy Spirit will convict people of sin. It's not for us to judge, because all judgment belongs to the Son. And we are not to judge others, or we will be judged with the same judgment with which we judge them. So, of course, we can say, well, this is sin, and that is sin, and this is sin, and that is sin. But the people that are involved in this and that don't see it as sin. And you telling them it's sin won't help the situation at all. But when the Holy Spirit convicts people, then they see that sin is sin. And then they have no peace until they're acquitted. Until that sin is brought under the justice of God. Listen. Stop trying to find quick ways to get people saved. Do the job properly. Jesus never had an altar call for salvation. Didn't even ask for a response when he preached the gospel of the kingdom. No evidence. Jesus said, right, raise your hand, those of you who want to get saved, those of you who want to receive the kingdom. I see that hand. It's not a biblical phrase. Why? Because when Jesus had preached the truth, he knew the Holy Spirit needed to do his work.
Amen.
You can be sure that when people at a meeting do respond, it's because the Holy Spirit has already been at work within them over a period of time. If they've simply responded to a message, then probably not much of any great depth is happening in their lives. But if they're responding to conviction that the Holy Spirit has been bringing upon them, and that meeting is just like the last straw that breaks them, and that's fine. There are one or two exceptions to that, but not all that many. God knows how to prepare people and set them up. Hello? He's been at this salvation business a lot longer than you have. Hallelujah. And whereas you've never saved anyone, he has saved millions. So he knows how to go about it. Praise God. So what's he saying to us now? I want you to live in my presence, not just experience my presence. I want you to reach out with my power and bring people into my peace. Shall I say that once more? I want you to live in my presence, reach out with my power, and bring people into my peace. And the Lord will go with us to do that. Because it's the fulfilling of the commission that he's given us as his people. So, just to finish, how is this truth about justice going to be a part of that process of his presence, his power, and his peace? I think people, once they come under conviction of sin, they need to know not that God is just shrugs his shoulders and say, oh, I forgive you. Anybody that has that concept of God doesn't really know him. What they need to hear is the truth. Your sin has been judged. Hello? Your sin has been judged. Your penalty has been paid. The punishment you deserve has been taken by someone else. And so by his stripes you are saved. Healed. Whatever. If people don't understand the awfulness of their sin, they will not understand salvation, and they will not understand the need for a righteous, just, and holy life once they have entered salvation. Now, you can't preach a righteous, just, and holy life to people who do not understand justice. You will only heap sort of condemnation upon people because they will feel that they're not living up to the standard that God requires. But once they understand the justice of God, that Jesus has successfully established justice on the earth, then you are free to live the life that God has called you to live. That's right. So you can live in his presence, reach out with his power, and draw people into his peace. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Purata parazataria leto bakarasitaba. Come on, praise God for his justice. I can't remember when we last did that. Praise God for his justice. Hallelujah. Puratabarazataria lerba karasitri sanduba. Barataparazatu bakarasitri satuba. Thank God that he came and established justice on the earth. Hallelujah. He has established justice on the earth. Come on, thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank him that the time will come when his justice will be seen throughout the earth, and all injustice shall be done away. All unrighteousness shall be done away. All unholiness shall pass away. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness, justice, and holiness shall prevail. Hallelujah. Puratabarazatari elerabakarasitri saratubakarasitaba. Baratabarazatari elerabakarasitri saratubakarasandri sanduma. Baratapara zitari elera bakara sitri saratu bakara sitri sandama. Baratapara zatari elera bakara sitri saratu bakara sitri sandama. Brundari eletu bakara sitri saratu bakara sitri sandama. Brundari elera bakara sitri saratu bakara sitri sandama. Yes, 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 yes. Puratapara zatari elera bakara sitri satuba. Bratapara zatapara sitri saratu bakara sitri sandama. Brosotari saratu bakara sitri satuba. Brosotapara zatari elera bakara sitri satuba. Now thank him that he's called you to live in his presence and therefore to keep yourself free from sin. Come on, you can do that. You can resist temptation. You can say no to the devil. You can say no to sin. The scripture says this. You do not have to continue to sin. Thank the Lord that he has put the Holy Spirit within you, so you can walk in holiness, not in sin. That you're a holy person, not a sinner. A saint, not a sinner. Come on, thank him. That God expects this of you because he's made it possible for you. Purataparazatari zatari elera bakara sitri saratu bakara situba. Baratapara zatari elera bakara sitri sanduba. Brotapara zatari elera bakara sitri saratu bakara situba. Yes, 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 yes. Thank him that you are the righteousness of God, that he has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. Come on, give him glory. Give him glory. Give him glory. Purata parazatari elera bakarasituba. All unrighteousness is done away with. Hallelujah. Parata parazatari elera bakarasituba. Barata parazatari elera bakarasituba.
Thank you, because his presence goes with you, his power can be released through you. Hallelujah. Come on, you can reach out in his name and his power will be channeled through you because his presence goes with you. Purata parazataria letuba karazituba. Borata parazatuba. And as the power of God hits other people's lives, they will be drawn into his peace. Purata parazataria letuba karazitrisatuba. Barata parazataria letuba karazituba. Purata parazataria letuba karazitrisanduba. Barandaria zatuba karazitri saratuba karazitri zatuba. Barata parazato parazitoba. So thank the Lord that your sin has been judged and you are free. You are acquitted. Hallelujah. Purata parazataria letuba karazitoba. Yes. Your sin is judged. Your punishment has been paid. And you are free. It is for freedom. Christ has set you free. Hallelujah. Purata parazataria lera bakarasitu risatuba. Barata parazata parazituba. Oh. Now just reach out to the Lord in your heart and say, Lord, I want to fulfill what you expect of me, a righteous, just, and holy life. Thank you, Lord, that you don't have small expectations for my life, but you have given me a high calling and you have great expectations of what you will accomplish through my life. Come on, thank the Lord. He's got such great expectations for you. He knows you can't fulfill them in your own strength, but he's going to fulfill them through his power, through his spirit. But thank the Lord, he has great expectations for you. That his presence will go with you, his power will flow through you, and you will draw many into his peace. Peace with God. Unity with God, one with God. Paratapara sataria letupa. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Puratapara sataria letupa. Oh Lord, 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 thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, possess me. Possess me, Lord, in every part. I don't want to just possess you. I want you to possess me. I want to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I'm not possessed by any other spirit, but I am possessed by the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, fill every part of my life with your holiness, with your righteousness, with your justice. Papaharatapa. Borosohodia paparazataharama. Oparasataparazatarapataraba. O parazata parazarabaritoba. Barata parazataria letu bakarazitoba. Barata parazata bakarazitoba. Barata parazataria letu bakarazitoba. Barata parazataria letu bakarazitoba. Now thank the Lord that your mind is your own. The devil doesn't own your mind. Temptation doesn't own your mind. Fantasies don't own your mind. You are in control, full control of your mind. You are not going to allow into your mind all those sexual fantasies, all those fantasies that exalt self and pride. Come on, say, I'm standing against all of those things in the name of Jesus. I have a pure mind, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. I'm going to set my mind on things above, on the righteousness, the justice, and the holiness of God. Parata parazatari elero bakarasitaba. Barata parazatari elero bakarasitri sandaba. Come on now. Pota parazatari elero bakarasitaba. Borata pakarazatuba. I'm not going to have a wandering mind. I'm not going to listen to any of the lies and accusations of the devil. I'm not going to receive, I'm not going to take on board any of his lies, any of his deception. In the name of Jesus, my mind is my own, and I choose to submit my mind to the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit my mind to the truth. I say, Holy Spirit, I want to worship God with all my mind. I want to think right. I want to think justice. I want to think holy. Lord, I thank you that you've given me a mouth to speak what is right, to speak what is just, to speak what is true, to speak what is holy. I'm not going to allow my mouth to be used to speak the negative, that which is unjust, that is not right, that is unholy. No, my mouth is consecrated to you. It's to be a channel of your truth, of your life, of your grace, of your power. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I will speak words of power. When I speak in your name, the power of God is going to go forth. Just as in Jesus, so with me. I will speak your power into people's lives. I will speak your power into situations. I will see the power of God released. Purata parazatari eletu bakarazito. Barata parazatari elera bakarasitri satuba. Barata parazatari elera bakarasitri sanduba. Barata parazatari elera bakarasitri satuba. Lord, I thank you. You've given me a pure heart. You gave me a new heart, Lord, and that new heart is a pure heart. You say, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I thank you that you've made me a peacemaker. Oh, rasatuba karasitaba. I thank you, Lord, that you purify my heart by your blood through your spirit. I thank you, Lord, I have a pure heart. Come on, thank the Lord you have a pure heart. Don't listen to the devil. The devil says you don't have a pure heart. But God has given you a pure heart. Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. Thank him, you have a pure heart. Purata parazatari eleraba. Purata parazatari elena mazundaba. Okay, now, thank God that his justice is going to be revealed through your life, that you're not going to be running with personal, private agendas where you try to turn things and manipulate things to your advantage. You're not going to be a politician. Are you there? Come on, thank God that you're going to reveal his justice. You're going to deal fairly and righteously and honorably with everyone. Purata parazatari elerba karasitri sanduba. Purata parazatari elerba karasitri satuba karasundama. Barata parazatari elerba karasitri sanduma. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sato bokara sotri sarato bokara sitri sanduma. Boroto parazatari elera bakara sitri sanduma. Boroto parazatari elera bakara sitapa. Boroto parazatari elera bakara sitri sanduma. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sato bokara sitri satuba.
Now finally, just thank the Lord that you can do it because he says you can do it. You can be who he says you can be. Hallelujah. And you're not going to get downhearted when there's mistakes, when there's failure. You put that behind you and you move on with God. You move on in his presence, with his power and his peace. You're not going to allow anything to disturb and steal that peace. Come on, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Nothing is going to be allowed to steal the peace that he has imparted to you. Pura tapara satari elero bakara sitri sanduba. Pura tapara satari elero bakara sitri sanduba. Boratoparazatari elera bakara sidri satuba. Boparazata parazitaba. Because he's justified you, you can live in his justice. Hallelujah. You can reflect his justice. Praise God. Come on, let's give him thanks. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Now, just understand this, that these are truths about you. Okay? And truth never changes. No matter how you feel, no matter actually if some wrong thought process goes on in your life, the truth doesn't change. The truth is that you are righteous, that you are just, and you are holy in God's sight. So just come back to the truth. Don't get all downcast and start punishing yourself and accusing yourself, listening to the lies of the enemy. Just come back to the truth. Say, no, that does not apply to me because I am righteous, I am just, I am holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah! Yeah!